sermon today comes from that 1 Corinthians, and the title is I Have No Need of You, and of course it picks up, echoes that theme of the arm cannot say to the head or the head to the arm that I have no need of you. We're going to explore that a little bit. The other thing we're going to explore is a little bit is the idea of the fulfillment of the scriptures, because the first reading from Luke ends with that powerful statement from Jesus saying, the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing today. And then Paul invites us to consider how we too are the fulfillment of the scriptures as part of the body of Christ. But before we get there today, I wanted to talk about our lectionary reading from Luke. Because as you know, we're in the season of Epiphany. I think we have another 5 weeks left of Epiphany. That's why we still have our star up there. We're still following the light of the star gathered by that the wise men followed so that we can hear the Spirit. And the Spirit is really present today in the lectionary because we are reading from chapter 4 of Luke, and today is the inauguration of Jesus' ministry in some ways. So far, after Jesus' baptism, you remember the Spirit came down in the form of a dove. He was singled out. And then the Spirit, we didn't read this part last week because we did something new, but the Spirit drove him out into the desert where Jesus had to find himself in a way so he could prepare for the ministry. And then he comes back and the Spirit sends him across Galilee where he has been offering sermons of a way and teachings. And then suddenly he arrives back in Nazareth where he grew up. And for the first time, Luke introduces the actual teaching that he offers. And so that is where we get to today. He's back where he has been brought up, and he is giving his inaugural lesson. And so, I don't know if you remember, but so he's at the synagogue, and the attendant just hands him a scroll. It happens to be Isaiah. And Jesus, being very learned in Hebrew scripture, he decides what he wants to read. He unrolls it. And he chooses to read from Isaiah 61 and also from Isaiah 58, two different little passages that he melds together with intention, just as we preachers do today sometimes. But he had a very specific purpose. The end, the last line from Isaiah that he chose to read is where he says, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And that's a really powerful statement because it evokes the vision of the Jubilee year where liberation is available to all in freedom and we're freed from captivity. And this, it's an amazing year of celebration. And then later we'll revisit this, but that's what he follows with the fulfillment of Scripture in everyone's hearing. But then after he reads and he sits down, and he explains that the words shouldn't be heard only as the words of Isaiah long ago and far away. They can also be heard as Jesus' own words here and now and applying to him as the fulfillment of Scripture right before their eyes. The Spirit of God is upon me, sitting before you now, he says. God has anointed me, Jesus says, to bring good news to the poor, release to the captives, sight to the blind, freedom to the oppressed. For that great jubilee you've all heard about in ancient scripture, from thousands and thousands of years ago, there were thousands and thousands of years ago, even when Jesus was teaching, that long-awaited year of the world's favor has begun. And today, this scripture is fulfilled. So what I love about this story in particular is that it is an opening answer to the question, what is Jesus' mission all about? So what would you say Jesus' mission is all about, having heard that little introduction of what I kind of think it's all about? Relief to the poor. Relief to the poor. Yep.
Bringing hope.
Bringing hope. Yep. I saw other hands.
Freedom.
Freedom. Yep. All keywords, hitting them all. Any others?
Throwing away the restrictions of the Old Testament and finding peace and salvation.
So just I would soften that just a little bit, because Jesus, of course, was formed in Hebrew scripture, and he loved it with all his heart. And that's one of the reasons that he could open a scroll of Isaiah and say, I'm going to speak from right here, right now. And so he spoke from a place of deep love. So Jesus, I would offer, wasn't throwing away anything. And we'll talk about that a little bit more too, in the sense that Jesus and ancient scripture, when you listen to ancient scripture in our Hebrew Testament and the New Testament, you pick up different patterns and motifs of how God operates in the world. And you hear them repeated over time. So it's not exactly coincidence that Jesus picks Isaiah, right? So there's Isaiah, a motif. And you picked out those motifs correctly. I mean, you were dead on at the release of the captive, support for the poor, that motif. And then Jesus comes forward and lifts up that motif. And that is his way of saying God is still operating in the world. God was speaking to Isaiah in Isaiah's time and speaking to people. And God is still speaking today in my time. He's speaking through me. And here is how I embody the holiness and God's presence in the world. So that's where I think I would take that, the fulfillment. But it doesn't end there, right? Because as we'll explore a bit further together, we are still fulfilling the scriptures. We are still carrying those motifs and listen for those holy actions. And there is this sense where Jesus is proclaiming in his time, the Jubilee has begun. Here's how it begins. It begins in the release, in the lifting of oppression, and making the vulnerable not so vulnerable, in having the last be first, in that overturning of the status quo. And I'm going to just take a moment at this moment to invite some of our folks, because this is really what was happening yesterday. So yesterday, I and Mary and Danielle and Catherine, you're all sitting together. That's perfect, because you could speak to the experience. We went to the Justice Revival of the UCC in Sacramento. It was a little road trip. I was very grateful that Danielle drove. And, yep, it was awesome. But we heard Tracy Blackman. Are any of you familiar with Tracy Blackman? She is really worth knowing. She is a powerhouse, and she is one of today's prophets in the U.S. for the growing revival of Protestantism, especially progressive Protestantism in the U.S. And she's an African-American woman with a dynamic voice, and she is our UCC Minister of Justice, and she's part of the national office. And so she was our keynote speaker. And then we had some other local folks who also were keynote speakers. And then there were workshops offered on things like help me remember. We went to, there was human trafficking, mass incarceration was a big one, LGBTQ outreach. There's one I'm missing. I can't remember. We did. Oh, and Tracy. Tracy had a little talk conversation about UCC ministry, sort of broadly speaking. And what's wonderful about that is it helps us remember that, yes, we are the body of Christ. So here we are in this community. And then we're part of the bigger body of Christ, the national UCC. And in dialogue, we are with other members. It's like members of the body, right? So Tracy is a member of the body of Christ, the national UCC, and we as a congregation were in conversation with her yesterday. And then we're part of the global community of Christians, but people of all faith. We're part of the global community of humanity, and that is part of being the body of Christ for me. Would any of you care to share just a quick takeaway of the most important thing, the one most important thing you took from being there yesterday in Sacramento? Yes, stand up, then we can hear you better.
But I kind of thought maybe it was her He really told us a lot about what the national's doing and how it kind of trickles down. And Catherine Danielle and I had stayed for that one. Just because she's so dynamic in speaking, and she, you know, was telling different stories about how, even though maybe you can't be out on the line marching for a certain cause, people do different things. And the one story that I took away that really touched me was that their church every winter does a coat drive, and they purchase like 100 new coats, and they have them available for whoever needs them. So they come, and when the coats are gone, the coats are gone. And she was telling us about this little lady who came to their church. She used to live on one side of town, what I'll call maybe the more affluent side of town, whatever. And she was having to leave her home, and she was about to go into a nursing home. But she didn't have enough money to stay on that side of town. So her family moved her to the other side of town, and where she could afford it. And so she's like, you know, she's there, and she calls up the church to find out, you know, well, is there somebody who can come and pick me up at my nursing home, because I don't drive and I need to, you know, I need to get there. So she comes, and she goes, I don't know if she knew about our church we really liked, but she had recognized the United Church of Christ signal, our emblem, because she had been in the United Church of Christ. And so she comes to the church, and their church is predominantly African-American. So here comes in this little 80-year-old woman, you know, kind of bright and white. and you know, she'd go like, you know, when there were announcements, she'd stand up, and, you know, she said, oh, Pastor Tracy, I have something to say. And she goes, sometimes her announcement was longer than the sermon, but she'd let her talk. But when they were doing the coat drive, what was interesting is that the woman was still in the nursing home, and she had learned from her roommate how to crochet. So she says, Pastor Tracy, I need you to come down here to the floor. And she comes wheeling up with this wire cart, like, you know, sometimes people take when they're going grocery shopping, if they're walking. And it's filled with all these Ziploc bags. And she said, I don't know what's going on. But the woman had made 100 hats and handed out, and 100 scarves, and put them in Ziploc bags with personal little notes saying that their church wanted to make sure that they stayed warm. And so with each coat, there was a personalized hat and scarf that went with it. And so, and she said, and even though I couldn't walk in protest on some of these things, I think I walked 5 miles by doing all my crocheting. So there's always a way that people can do things, even if we're limited on certain things. There's other things that we can do to support and help. So that was one of the things I took away personally. And there was another story you could ask me about later. But because I don't want to be the person who takes up more time.
You're beautiful.
It was really powerful, and it was kind of neat to see some faces of people that we recognized there too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I do appreciate Danielle driving. She was awesome.
Amen. Got us there and back safely. And what I love about that story is it does lift up that body of Christ, like how we do in fact need each other, and how each of us does have gifts of wonder and beauty to offer, no matter where we are on our journey. How about you, Danielle? Was there something you wanted to offer? Yep. Awesome. Welcome. Yeah, might need to speak out a little bit.
What?
Speak big, so we can hear you well.
Oh, speak big.
Yep, rocking.
The whole day was a blur. Now I forgot what I was talking about. Anyway, so I think one thing I really took to heart, and I don't remember who said it, was the idea that not only can everybody contribute in their own way that they are able, like this woman who knitted this, versus some people who can be on the front lines protesting. Something that everybody can do is internal work.
Oh, that was a big one.
Some
Yep.
And it is really easy to turn them into the other.
Yep.
And as soon as we do that, we are participating in the division.
Ah.
And so the individual who was speaking said, first recognize their humanity. Ah. Maybe that is the only job that they could get. And maybe we don't know how they feel about doing that, but maybe they have kids at home that they have to bring that paycheck home to.
Fair.
In my mind, that doesn't necessarily justify what they're doing. But it is vital to recognize the humanity of everyone.
Amen.
So we do not participate in making people the other.
I hear that. So that also really resonates with the body of Christ and the message from Corinthians, where we are connected and where one person suffers, we all suffer in that system, where the children who are separated are absolutely suffering. And maybe the people who are having to do the separating are also suffering. They carry that home. And so it invites us to think, as the body of Christ, where there is suffering, what do we do? How do we respond? And the best response, as Penny Nixon, Reverend Penny Nixon from San Mateo lifted up, was, let's begin by always remembering everybody's humanity, which is always the scriptural beginning and where Jesus began today in his inaugural address of lifting up those who are most vulnerable. I want to make sure, Catherine, if you would like to offer something that you...
I just echo that. I think that what Danielle said was the thing that really resonated
with you as well, to seeing... People came from all over.
Yeah.
Yep. And that's part of ministry too. And what I love is that yesterday here at Campbell, while one arm of the body of Christ was in Sacramento at the UCC Justice Revival, another arm of the body of Christ was setting up for karaoke last night, making space for hospitality and joy and fun. And that is how we work as community, as body of Christ. There's one thing that I wanted to lift up that's really relevant today's scripture that I took with me from yesterday. And it was from Sophia Jackson's talk on mass incarceration. And in order to demonstrate this, I'm going to need 7 volunteers. Do I have 7 volunteers who would be willing to come forward? Awesome. Just come on up here. And you can kind of line up right here. Fantastic. Thank you for bearing with me. But you'll see the point in a minute because it's related to scripture. So line up right behind the altar there so everybody can see you. It doesn't have to be exactly 7. 1, 2, 3, 4. Oh, look at you. You're totally magic. Right? You did it. The 10 talents. You got them all. All right. So, Larry, would you face that wall? And everybody line up behind Larry in a line facing the wall. Beautiful. That's great. You can be in line too if you want to. We're not. So, Larry, you are in the first position. Yes? You're number one. All right. And you're Jean. You're number two. And Debbie, you're in the middle. Mary, you're feeling a little more toward the back there. Number 5. Mark, you are number 6. And Kathy, number 7. Is that right? I'm totally counting wrong. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. You're 8. Oh, no, no. All right. So the main point, so here's the point of this. So if, are we 7? Oh, how about that? Magic number. All right. So part of it is, in especially for Luke, that the first shall be last and the last shall be first. So just symbolically, I'm going to stand up here with Larry so he doesn't feel alone. We are, in this case, the first. We're super privileged. We got everything. We got more than we possibly know what to do with. We've got all kinds of social status. We have the best of education. Well, you got height. You know, we've got it all.
You need height to be there.
Right? Darn. I'll borrow some someday. So here we are. So this is kind of how society is structured, more or less, yeah? Where those folks who have it all are sort of facing the front. We've got it, and everybody's behind us. We don't even see them. We don't really care. Some people genuinely care. But in general, society gives that air of not really caring, especially just at the moment. So what happens if we turn around and we flip it? All right, everybody turn around. All right, so Danielle, You were, for a while there, you were right at the bottom of the social status. You were probably homeless. You might have been struggling with addiction. You might have lost connection with family. The weight of maybe children could have, you know, in custody. Maybe there were some felony charges in there and you couldn't find a job, right? So all kinds of things down here at this end, multiple forms of suffering that are systemic and that have as much to do with system as choice, both of those things into play. So, but what happens is, so Danielle is now looking at, there's not much down here. Well, Ed, we're admiring you. Right. But if you think just symbolically for a moment, here's how this metaphor works. If we at this end, with all our privilege, were to turn around and actually look down, and we were to bring all our resources to bear on lifting up everybody in front of us, who would then be first and who would be last? And if everybody this from here was pushing this way and things were lifting up, right? We'd end up and we'd...
My lap.
So we'll talk about that later. But it's this powerful metaphor where you begin to imagine what that really looks like, and where when we reframe things and the last become first and the first become last, what it looks like in practical terms. And it is not just about giving, it's not just about charity, but it is in fact also about changing systems. And that is what Jesus is talking about here in the year of Jubilee. And that's where justice comes from too, where the system is corrected and made more just as we do the internal work of making ourselves our best selves as best we can. Awesome. All right, you all are free to sit down. Thank you so much. You're so good to come participate. And so that's where Isaiah was, and that's where Jesus was, and guess what? That's where we are, too. We're still doing it. We're still the fulfillment of the scriptures in today and yesterday, as Campbell UCC, as the body of Christ, we have come, and the fulfillment of scripture, the Jubilee year, is here with us and in our work together and in our discerning together. And as Campbell right now is embarking on that most exciting journey of renewal and re-engagement and lifting up the spirit and catching the wind of the spirit that is moving across the U.S. in terms of what it means to be Christian in the 21st century. Super exciting times as we reimagine and uplift those motifs and live into that body of Christ and become the embodiment of the Jubilee year. And I would say that this is why we need each other. And our line also reminds us of why we need each other. We are bound together. There's no escaping each other. So let us bring ourselves with all our best selves, with our best intentions, with our best desire to lift up and be that Jubilee year as we grow in community together and grow in love together as we emulate Jesus and his work as he embarks on in today's scripture. And that is the conclusion of my sermon for today. Yay.